Welcome here. It's exciting to be able to come, be together, to fellowship together, and to worship together. And thank you for each person that has a part in this ministry here, and that God has led many into various ministries. And even as we look at Women of Divine Design and all their ministry as they prepare for the salad fiesta at the end of the month, what a blessing that's going to be. It usually is a great and wonderful time, and that makes me jealous that maybe if I could keep an eye in through the keyhole or something. But no, it's a great time ladies have. Men's ministry coming up next week, and trust that that's another exciting time, and that lots of different roles for individuals to be involved. And as God leads and directs in various ways. And I know the youth department is looking for a female to be involved. And if God lays that upon your heart, would you just talk to Simon about that? And that he would love to be in communication with you. But also just be praying this week, as Ken, I believe, is coming home this week from Greece. And so be praying for all those connections. I believe Dave is in Buffalo Narrows this morning and going to La Loche this evening and doing the roundabout route and stuff like that. So be praying for him, especially as I'm sure they have a little bit more snow up in that area than we have down here. And so just be continuing to pray for our missionaries that God would open doors of opportunity. And even in a couple of weeks, we're going to see a video from Brent and Jody Ristow and just some of their ministry, and that God is indeed opening doors of opportunity for them as well in that ministry as well. But this morning, I just want to take a few moments and share with you some more thoughts on prayer, and that in the life of Jesus. And it's always hard when you talk about prayer in the life of Jesus, because how can we measure up to that? And I don't believe that God is necessarily asking us to measure up to his intensity, but I believe he's asking us to put some principles into place in our lives whereby he might be able to communicate with us. Because in life and through life, God desires to be involved in our lives. He wants to walk with us in the life that he has called us to, the ministries that he's called us to. And so as we read the accounts throughout the Gospels, we see principles, I believe, that we can apply to our lives in the capacity that we are able to. And that might look different from what we're going to read here in Mark chapter 1. And so I trust that we are, read it with that intensity. God, if it's possible, as in my schedule, would you allow me opportunities to be able to come in a season of prayer? And whether that's a season of prayer or a time of prayer, and I know that in Jesus' ministry, we're going to see that often in the mornings, but also you will read and throughout the Word of God that he took evenings as well to take time apart to pray. And so there was some times much of Jesus' ministry. And so you can look through the gospel of the Gospels and you can see much written about the prayer life of Jesus. In fact, in Luke 5:16, it says, shares with us, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And so that word often is an open-ended statement. We're not sure how regularly. And I don't believe that Jesus was necessarily wanting us to seek to imitate him in the regularity of that as well. But Jesus in his ministry knew the importance of spending time with his Father. And even in the relationship that he had, he desired to have that communing time with each other. And so often, as it says there in Luke 5:16, he did take time to slip away and pray. And now on many of these occasions, we don't have listed on what Jesus was praying for. But we do have a few passages in Scripture where he mentions specifically the things he was praying for. And so, yes, many of those times we don't have listed for us exactly what he was praying for. But on a few of those occasions, he does let us in on what he was praying for. On another occasion, upon the disciples' request, he teaches them principles of prayer. And so there in the book of Luke, you will find an account there when the disciples come to Jesus and he asks them, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus there took a few moments to specifically give them some pointers in the whole area of prayer. Many of us were taught by our parents a prayer when we were going to sleep at night. And maybe you can remember back to those times as you were sleeping, and your parents encouraged you to spend times in prayer. and the importance of that in the early days of our children, that they might learn a habit of prayer and begin a habit of prayer in their lives. And then as well as opportunities come at mealtimes to pray for our food. And maybe your parents eventually turned over the responsibility of for you to pray at those times as well. And so you developed into a habit of prayer. And it was opportunities to teach our kids habits of prayer in our lives and the importance of that. But maybe over time that it soon just grew into a habit and you soon turned it into something that was just automatic or became regular. Something you just did because you have always done it that way. And so it's easy to, when we have those times in prayer, to begin to just say the same thing over again. And we find ourselves, when we go into prayer, we often use the same prayer over and over again. And many times we do not stop to think about exactly what are we saying in that prayer. What are we asking God for? What do we want God to do in that time of prayer? Especially when you ask him to bless the food or however it means you say at mealtimes. What are you asking God for? God, don't poison me this time, or whatever means that we have. And so often, we don't stop to think in those areas that have become a habit in our lives. And so we're not sure what we're praying for or even expecting anything from our prayer, but to move on to what comes next. There was one time that our extended family got together at Christmas time, and my cousin that Christmas got himself a watch for Christmas. And so he wanted to utilize his new skill, his new skill set with his new little device he had. And so when they asked my grandfather to pray for the Christmas meal, he took it upon himself to time my grandpa's prayer. And so when this prayer was no sooner done, he let grandpa know and the rest of us know how long it was. And it went, I think, well beyond a minute at that time. He was not looked with favor for that information. And that did not go over very well, and I'm sure his thoughts were not on much on the prayer that was being said. We find our minds slipping away into distraction or thinking about all that yet needs to be done in the midst of prayer. It is one thing to slip away into distraction when someone else is praying, but it's another thing to slip away into distraction when you are praying. And that's another thing. All of a sudden you're praying along, and then you wake up an hour later or whatever. Oh, I guess I was in the midst of prayer. Let's see, how far did I get? Or whatever. One time in Bible school, at an RA, a resident assistance meeting we were having in our dean's office. We were going around the circle and praying. And then when it got to my turn, there was no response because I had slipped away and found something more profitable and having a nap instead. And so, yes, we often have times when we seek to be involved in prayer. And our minds go somewhere else. Maybe this is why prayer has fallen out of regular practice for you. Life has gotten busy, and to find times to squeeze in regular prayer time in your lives would be something that would be hard to do. You'd have to give up some other essential element in your life to be able to do that. And to find a time when you're fully coherent would be an additional challenge in your lives. And that's something that we can go before the Lord and say, God, would you give me a time that I can have, that we can come get together, wherever that may be, or however God might facilitate that time, whether God opens up opportunities, whether all of a sudden insomnia hits you and you have opportunity in the middle of the night then to pray, or whatever God allows. Mark in his epistle shares with us prayer in the life of Jesus. He is not the only gospel book that shares on Jesus' prayer. In fact, he's not even the one that shares the most detail on the prayer life of Jesus. You'd have to go into the book of Luke to find that. But time would escape us if we were to look at the whole subject here, because we only have a few moments here this morning to look at. And so I would like to take a few moments to look into the book of Mark on the prayer life of Jesus. Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark, was not one of the 12 disciples. And he would have been about 12 years old when Jesus was crucified. He was also surnamed John Mark, and he would later team up with Paul and Barnabas, but would be a source of division between them. Paul thought he was too young and unreliable, but Barnabas thought he was helpful. Mark is considered the earliest of the four Gospels and the shortest. The book is written primarily for the Romans because Mark takes time explaining a lot about Jewish customs throughout his book. And so it is written through the eyes of Peter. Peter called him my son in the flesh in 1 Peter 5, verse 13. And thus a little bit of understanding as we turn into the book of Mark here about a little bit about the book. And Mark begins his account at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and the first chapter shares with us a day in the life of Jesus. And so if you got your Bibles open, let's turn to Mark chapter 1, and let's begin reading at verse 35. Mark chapter 1, and let's begin reading at verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And so he went out into the various synagogues and went about sharing with them his ministry. But to understand this day in the life, we need to back up to verse 21, where we see that Jesus entered the synagogue there in Capernaum, and he began to preach to the congregation that was there, or the group of people that was there. And he taught as somebody having authority, somebody that was different than their scribes had been teaching up to that time. And so there must have been an excitement in the crowd. How can this gentleman teach with such authority? And so in the midst of this, all of a sudden somebody who was, he was confronted by somebody who was demon-possessed man, and it did interrupt his teaching. We're not told if this man was known to those in the synagogue and how long he had been in their midst. And so all of a sudden, in the midst of his teaching, somebody in the midst interrupted Jesus. And this person who was demon-possessed, this demon was confronted with the presence of Jesus, and this demon responded in the midst of his time that he was there. When this man came face to face with Jesus of Nazareth, the demon could no longer stay silent. It is possible to be a part of a congregation and be far from the Lord. We can deceive all those around us into believing that we are as we appear to be, and that we can seek to deceive people. And then we're not told how long this person was in their midst. And he might have been in their midst as a regular member or a regular attendee, and life had continued to go on. But in the presence of Jesus, all of a sudden he was confronted and he responded. And so, in our own lives, as we examine our own lives, it is possible to be a part of this ministry. It is possible to be a part of a church and yet be far from the Lord. The message that Jesus was communicating to the people was the truth, as he shared there in verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that was the message that Jesus sought to communicate into those various places that he went. And I'm sure it was a message that yet he needed to communicate in this synagogue as well. While the people did not understand who Jesus was, this demon well knew that he was the Holy One of God. And so it was interesting that the Jewish people did not understand who their deliverer was, who their Messiah was. But this demon here well knew that he was the Holy One of God. In 1 John 3, verse 8, shares with us, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And so one of the ministries, one of the purposes of Jesus in coming was that he might destroy the works of the devil. And thus we see there, as he went about doing ministry, that he was not only preaching, but casting out demons as well. From the synagogue, Jesus went to the house of Simon and Andrew, and he healed Simon's mother-in-law. When evening came after the sun had set, the city gathered at the door with those who were ill and others who were demon-possessed. And Jesus continued into the evening healing and casting out demons. And so in this 24-hour period, maybe some of you are familiar with that movie, it shows, I think there's a number of them called 24 Hours. And all of a sudden it seemed to go through the 24 hours of the day and all that happens in the action that happens in those movies. But here we see Mark laying out for us the 24 hours in Jesus' life and ministry. And so we come now to verse 35, where we see Jesus heading out early in the morning while it was still dark for the express purpose to pray. This was during the fourth watch of the night, which would have been between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Out of all the mornings when he could have slept in, Jesus here knew that he needed to get apart and have time in prayer to a secluded place. We're not told of the sleeping arrangements, as Jesus would have had four disciples with him at this time as well. And so the house might have been full, and Jesus knew that if he was going to be alone and have a time of prayer, he was going to have to get away. And so he went out into the wilderness to take time for prayer. Prayer takes discipline. And so Jesus was very man, and he would have been wearied as well. He might have only had 2 to 4 hours of sleep at this time, and there would have been lots of excuses that could have come to his mind. He said, I sure can afford a little bit more sleep. If I'm going to continue to be involved in what God has called me to do, what the Father has called me to do, then I need my sleep. But yet here, Jesus saw the importance of taking himself apart for a period of time that he might spend in prayer. So in times like these, there are many excuses that come to mind why a time in prayer will not work that morning. And yes, there is times in our lives when life gets busy, when all of a sudden exhaustion sets in. And sometimes the greatest thing that we can do in our lives is to spend time in prayer. Or sorry, spend time in sleep in our lives and to enjoy sleep as God gives us sleep. But here, Jesus sought to demonstrate for his disciples and for us as well that prayer is a discipline that he was seeking to carry on. It's easy to tell others that it's just one morning, it's no big deal. And often it is no big deal when sleep is more important. But prayer is a spiritual discipline. Weight training is not easy at first as you start with little weight and a few reps. But over time, you're able to increase the weight and the amount of the reps. And you grow stronger as you persevere when you go to the gym. And this is a message for me as well. I would grow stronger too if I would learn to be a little bit more faithful in going to the gym as well. But it's just interesting, as you see and as you spend time there, you're able to increase your weights. You're able to do more reps of that weight as well. And this is when it comes to the discipline of prayer as well. When we spend time in prayer, then we grow stronger in prayer as well. Spiritual disciplines are habits, practices, and experiences that are designed to develop, grow, and strengthen one's spirit, to build the muscles of one's character as a follower of Christ. And so in our own lives, our own spiritual lives, as we seek to walk with him, we need to increase the disciplines in our lives, the habits, practices, and experiences that we might grow stronger in ministry as well. Spurgeon has this to share. Look no man in the face till thou hast seen the face of God. Speak thou with none till thou hast had speech with the Most High. The more work we have to do with men for God, the longer we ought to be at work with God for men. If you plead with men, you cannot hope to prevail unless you first plead with God. Inasmuch as our Lord had great success the day before, it teaches us that the greatest success does not release us from the necessity of still waiting upon God. And so as we look forward at this time, this season in our life, in this church's history, of looking back upon 50 past years, and we look forward to, if God grace allows us 50 more years, what are we expecting God to do in our midst? What do we want God to do in our midst? What do we desire for him to do? As we look back with excitement. Yes, it had challenges as well. It had great, maybe some times of heartaches as well. But God indeed blessed, because there was many in this church who had a spirit of prayer. And some of you have been sharing those stories with me at the times that we had together, regular times in prayer. If we're going to see God to move in our midst, we have to, as a church, as individuals, develop a prayer as part of our lives and ministry. Psalm 119, verse 147, I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I wait for your words. Psalm 88, 13, but I, O Lord, have cried out to you for help, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. And you can find many passages throughout Scripture speaking about mornings. And if mornings works, then great. But that doesn't mean that Jesus in his ministry only prayed in the mornings. There was times that in the evening as well as when he went to pray to his heavenly Father. When he sent the disciples out upon the sea after feeding the 5,000, he went up on the mountain late in the evening to pray. And so in Jesus' ministry, there was many opportunities he took that he might separate himself for a time of prayer. And then he separated himself to a solitary place. Jesus sought out a secluded place over the wilderness where he could pray before the face of his Father. The word used here for prayer encompasses all the aspects of prayer, whether that be submission, confession, petition, supplication, intercession, praise and thanksgiving, adoration. And that I'm sure in Jesus' time in prayer, he would have had times where he was more than just supplication. There was times of thanksgiving for his Father and his ministry as well. We're not told what Jesus was praying for, but a clue is given to us in verse 38, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. And I'm sure one of the prayers that went up before his father is, God, tomorrow this is what I'm going to be about and be doing. Would you go before and prepare the hearts of the people that I'm going to be speaking with? He may have been in prayer for the next places he would have had opportunity to share the gospel. His position in prayer is not mentioned, as it was not important to the fact that prayer was taking place. Through the account in Mark 14:35, it speaks of him falling to the ground. And so we're not sure the position that Jesus had in prayer. But a funny story has been written, and let me share it with you. It's called The Prayer of Cyrus Brown, and maybe you have heard about it. So let me just read this to you. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. Nay, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and wrapped and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow, such a posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be astutely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Hunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's Well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up, my head a-pointing down. And I made a prayer right there and then, best prayer I've ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. And so as God gives opportunity, whether you're standing on your head or whether you are standing or whatever, take opportunities to be involved in prayer. And so it's not specifically mentioned here what position Jesus had in prayer, because I don't believe it was important for that to be communicated as well. Whatever position God has for you, utilize that and to pray as unto him. Simon, upon rising for the day, did not find Jesus, and consternation broke out as Jesus was the star of the hour. People would soon be showing up again, and the person that they needed to see was nowhere to be found. And I'm sure as Peter awoke that morning and didn't see Jesus about, I'm sure the question came about, "Hey, they're not coming. Hopefully, they're not coming to see me, and I know they're not coming to see me. Where did Jesus go?" And so he puts together a search party to go and find out exactly where he went. When they find Jesus, his statement, "Everyone is looking for you," shows some of his anxiety, but also some of his dream that they would build on yesterday. Here the disciples were followers of a teacher, and in that day there was many teachers that were going about, and all of them had followers. Now I'm not sure of Peter's heart here. He had a spirit of pride in the fact that he was following a teacher who was seeking to do much in their community. He was getting to be famous. In fact, the word had already gone out to all of Galilee. And so, but that when the response that Jesus has to Peter here is, "Let us go." And so Jesus returned from prayer with a resolve to take his message to the towns nearby. Time spent in prayer gives one a fresh resolve to get to the work that God has called us to. And so as God gives you opportunity to pray and for various things, to pray for various ministries, and then often one of the results is a fresh resolve in that ministry. And so if you're involved in the Connect ministry, and as you spend time in prayer, God gives you a fresh and new vision for the work and then for the ministry that he's called you to see God's work in the lives of those individuals. The word that Mark uses for preach is a word that is also used for herald. And the herald had in his voice a note of certainty. There was no doubt about his message. He did not come with perhaps and maybes and probablys. He came with a definite message. Preaching is the proclamation of certainties, and a man cannot make others sure of that about which he himself is in doubt. As a herald of the word of God, we can speak with certainty. And as Jesus went about his ministry, he spoke with certainty. He didn't use maybes or I'm not sures or probablys. He went about with a certainty in his message because he knew that he was a herald of his heavenly Father. And where did he get the message from? He got it by spending time before the Father and before his throne. And then secondly, the herald had in his voice the note of authority. He was speaking for the king. He was laying down and announcing the king's law, the king's command, and the king's decision. And thus, as he went into the synagogue, as we saw there back in verse 21, he was able to speak with authority because he knew that he was a herald of his heavenly Father. And then thirdly, the herald's message came from a source beyond himself. It came from the king. Preaching speaks from a source beyond the preacher. It is not the expression of one man's personal opinions. It is the voice of God that Jesus spoke to men. Yes, Jesus understood the message, but he spent time before the Father growing in the message that God the Father wanted to give to him. Thus, the importance of Jesus' time of preparation and prayer as he took his Father's message to the towns nearby and from there to all Galilee. It is tempting when we look at ministry opportunities to think about our capabilities and fail to realize a walk in the reality of whose we are and where the capability for ministry comes from. And often it is easy to, as we seek to study for whatever God has called us to be involved with, to spend it just getting to know the lesson. And yes, we spend long time in memorizing the lesson. I'm not denying the importance of that. But how much time do we actually spend before the Father's throne for the message that needs to be shared with the people? If anything is going to be done, it's going to be done by the Holy Spirit's work in somebody's life. And are we praying that the Holy Spirit might take his word and might speak to hearts? We're not speaking our message, but his message. And we are not to operate in our power, but his power. Where do we find his message? The word of God. Where do we find the power to speak in the direction of where to speak? Before the throne of God and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at our preparation time, how much time do we spend in the word? And how much time do we spend in prayer seeking him in that midst of that ministry? In many of your mailboxes or papers seeking you to consider letting your name stand for various positions. It is tempting to see the impossibility of this position, and it would be true if you were to only consider your natural abilities and talents and not seek God's face if he wants you to do this and operate in his enabling power. Here's an action step that you can take. If God has put one of those into your mailbox, instead of just saying throwing it away and saying that's impossible, that's not me, would you pray and seek the Lord's face about that ministry? If God would have you to be involved in that, seek God's direction for what he would have you to be involved in. That does not mean that God wants us to be, as soon as we go to prayer, God's going to ask me to do this and that and everything else. No, I believe that God asks us specifically to be involved in certain ministries. And I believe there's times in some of our lives where we are involved in far more than what God has called us to be involved in. Because we have seen all of a sudden the need and you just say, fall over yourselves, seeking to help meet that need. And I believe that God does not want us to be involved in every ministry. But if we would go before him and say, God, is this what you would have me to be involved in? And seek his face in it. If you feel God's leading, would you make a commitment to live a disciplined life of prayer while doing that ministry? Seek him for the results and a passionate resolve, commitment for that ministry. God will mightily use you to advance his kingdom. Who knows what God has for you in that ministry, whether that be the Connect ministry, whether that be the youth ministry, or Women of Divine Design. As we seek his face in that ministry, we can see God's hand at work in the lives of individuals, and we can see a mighty moving of God in our midst as we spend time in prayer in and through that. Charles Finney, known as a man of prayer, saw many individuals come to faith during his ministry. It was not only his prayers, but the prayers of many during those years, and God richly blessed their prayers during those years. As I was reading as part of his biography this past week, it was just amazing how God moved in mighty ways, and whole communities came to salvation because there was a group of people that were in prayer. And I believe that prayer had a big influence in the ministry, in his ministry, during those days. As we look with anticipation into the future of all that God desires for OMC to be involved in, not only in our midst here, but whether God calls some from our midst to go out as well, are we anticipating God to do mighty things in our midst, in the lives of the individuals, in the people that we have opportunity to speak life into in our roles that God has given to us? All of a sudden in my devotions, I came across a passage, and I just want to, in closing, mention this. And I trust that you'll think about this as I had to think about it this past week. It's found in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. And it was specifically verse 16, but I have to back up to verse 15 because the verse 16 starts with the word therefore. So let me go back up to verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. The reason? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where do we find mercy? Where do we find grace? We find it before the throne of grace. And I believe that God's desire here and God's word for us today is come. Would you come before my throne of grace? You know, I am a God of mercy. I'm a God of grace. And I desire to operate that way in your life. If we would yet spend time before him, seeking his face for that mercy, whatever it may be. As God takes you into difficult waters or whether he takes you into great times of success, may we be people and may we be a church who is before the throne of grace for this ministry and in our lives as well. May that be an encouragement to you and may as well as it needs to be encouragement to my life as well, that I might be a person who spends much before the throne of grace. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the truth that we find in your word. And how, Heavenly Father, you demonstrated prayer for us. You sought your Father's face on multiple occasions because you knew the importance of that in the ministry that you were about. And pray, Heavenly Father, as we look at the ministry of OMC, that Heavenly Father, that we will be seeking your face muchly for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and in the lives of individuals, that we might see many come to know the Lord in the days ahead, that Heavenly Father, we might also find our hands strengthened because of that time in your presence, and that you might give us great boldness and effect in this ministry, in this community. For praying this in your name, amen. God bless. May that be an encouragement to you.